The boys who were away from home, so far away and for so long, and all the people they left behind. Everyone had memories to share, and there was nothing like music to make them ring. Well, in this program, we're going to bring you lots of those songs you and I sang from 1939 onwards. And just to, well, get you in the right mood for remembering, here are three favorites.
How the songs that we liked best in those days had a warm, hopeful feeling about them. We knew that there would be a tomorrow, and that however long we might have to wait, it really would be a lovely day. Later in the war, I was lucky. I was allowed to fly to Burma, and there I actually met the boys of the 14th Army that I've been singing to and talking to over the air. You can imagine the welcome that they gave me. After all, I was the first white girl most of them had seen for 2 or 3 years. Some of them had been out there before the war had started. In fact, by 1944, quite a few had been away from home for 6 years. I wonder if I can make you understand how strange it all felt. I'd be standing there, just one girl singing to an audience of soldiers, and once there were 6,000 of them. They cheer loud enough to lift the roof, if there had been one, and they'd be delighted when I started singing some of those, well, rather romantic lyrics, especially, of course, if I had my way. If I had my way, forever there'd be a garden of roses for you and for me. A thousand and one things I would do just for you. Only you. If I had my way, we would never doesn't seem to age these songs. There was one which takes me back to the Far East and journeys in the jungle, and when I'd sing in the casualty clearing station, even when there might be only a couple of wounded men for my audience. This is the song I mean.
I'll pray. I pray for you.
troubled sea. Then you and I will live in peace.
It is about these old songs, but you just don't get tired of them, do you? I do know one thing. There was a very special sort of feeling between the public and the artists who sang their favorites. That's why I feel so happy that Leslie Hutchinson is with us. Hutch and I did so many concerts and broadcasts together during the war. Hutch, I'd love to hear you in a song that you helped to make so popular in those early days of the war. Deep Purple.
Thank you.
singing just as he did when London itself was in the front line. Well, even when things were about as bad as they could be, you could usually find somewhere to dance. A famous orchestra leader at that time was Harry James, and like most English teenagers, I'd play his records over and over again. You may agree that one of the best arrangements he ever made was this one, which features Jimmy Harrison, You Made Me Love You. I want to tell you about one very happy memory, especially as it concerns a man who made it his job to see that, however grim things got, we'd never forget how to laugh. We simply couldn't do a program like this without remembering Itmar, and a dear friend of us all, Tommy Handley.
Well, I wonder how many are coming. I'll need a lot of help.
Can I do your nails, sir?
Mrs. Mott, the mascot of the Marines. Now, I want your help, Mrs. Mott. Now, are you good with sailors?
Oh, I love them, sir. Bless their bell bottoms.
There was never anyone quite like Tommy Handley, and Itmar went on long after the war ended. In 1941, we heard a new romantic love song, All the Things You Are. No wonder it was so popular. We couldn't all be poets, but the lyrics said it all for us, didn't it? And remind us of a lovely number, Doreen Hume.
Time and again I belong for adventure, something to make my heart beat faster. What did I long for? All of this world is you. trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel that lights the star. The purest thing I know are what you
Now, there's one song I know my friends have been waiting for. In the days when they used to call me the sweetheart of the forces, and what a wonderful compliment that was, it was never left out of my request programs. It was the White Cliffs of Dover. And above everything, this was an optimistic song. It made people feel that the war really would be over one day, and that there'd be a happy ending. Well, that's the feeling I always try to get across. I know many of them were songs about being parted, but like White Cliffs, they all had a message of hope.
There'll be just you wait.
shepherd will tend his sheep. The valley will bloom again. And Jimmy will go.
Broadcast I did in the first year or two of the war was always followed by many, many letters asking me to sing certain songs. So many were from men and women in the forces that I asked the BBC if I could have a program of my own. Nothing happened until one day I was called to the phone and a BBC producer said, "About the program, it'll be half an hour and I suggest you do it in the form of a letter. You start it, dear boys, and finish sincerely yours." It was in this program that I first sang a song which seemed to mean so much to the boys serving overseas. I had been away from the Palladium with appendicitis, and while I was getting well again, I made up my mind to go back with a new dress and some new songs. So with 50 coupons I'd saved up, I bought myself a new pink organdy dress. You know, some people still remember that dress. And then I tried to find some new songs to go with it. Well, one of these was called Yours. I took a fancy to it right away, put it in the Palladium show, recorded it, sang it in Sincerely Yours, and it built up to become one of the truly big hits of the war.
Till the stars are glowing, yours till the birds play to sing.
Thank you.
kept on the move by air raids. But as soon as we were bombed out of one studio, we'd find another. In spite of the blackout and raids, Piccadilly and the West End carried on the best they could. They were blitzed, but the restaurants and the nightclubs stayed open. The enemy couldn't stop the heart of London beating. There's one especially sad memory of Piccadilly for me. That fine singer, Al Bowley, was killed in a raid there. Like some other artists, Al became known even better after his death. And here John Bolter sings, as he did, "Love is the sweetest thing." One of the men who made them so was Glenn Miller. When I was just a kid, learning to be a professional singer with Charlie Coon, Joe Loss, and Ambrose, the name Glenn Miller was famous. He seemed someone quite out of reach. I never dreamed I'd ever meet him, and it was the greatest thrill when I did. In fact, I broadcast with Glenn Miller's orchestra just before he was reported missing, and I have one souvenir I treasure. A snapshot of us taken together. I'd like... In all my broadcast programs, I try to give the men overseas a feeling that they weren't forgotten and to remind them of happier things to come. And I did this by singing the songs that they asked for and by passing on messages from their wives and families. People have often told me the programs meant a lot because they sounded sincere. Well, of course, they were sincere. I couldn't have passed on those messages unless I'd meant every word. It seemed only right and natural for me to go to see those wives and babies. I just couldn't have made it all up. And then, later on, when I had a little girl of my own, hundreds of servicemen sent me silver coins for luck, and I had shoals of letters giving me advice of bringing up babies. But just to prove my point, here's one song that was tremendously popular. Well, this for me has truly been an evening of memories, and I hope you've enjoyed sharing them with me. I know you'll understand that there just isn't time to bring you all the songs which helped to make us forget the difficult and dangerous days and nights of 1939 and the years which followed. But there was nothing the boys enjoyed more than when at the end of a Fawcett show, they join in community singing and sing the old favorites at the top of their voices. So we'll leave you with some of those tunes. And if you feel like it, join in for old time's sake.
Again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue sky drives the dark far away. And will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that if you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And until we meet again, goodbye.
You've been listening to We Meet Again, some memories of the popular music of 1939 and the wartime years. Those taking part were Hutch, Leslie A. Hutchinson, Doreen Hume, John Bolter, and the Mitchell Men. With the augmented BBC Review Orchestra, leader Julian Gaillard, conductor Malcolm Lockyer, and Vera Lynn, who introduced the program. We Meet Again was written by Gail Pedrick and produced by John Kingdon.